Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depending on where you're tuning in from, thank you very much. This is Inspector Bark. Darcy Butkus is your host for the next half hour or so. I have decided to pre-record this interview because Tracy Schneider, who is the ex-caretaker for Animal Aid, will not be able to come on our show tomorrow night, March 6th. At 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening to this, please tune in because we will have this interview on the show for tomorrow night. Since Tracy has taken another job, her shift starts at 7 p.m. and will be unable to call in. At this time, what we're going to do is we're going to hear Tracy's side of the story. Tracy's going to be calling in. And Tracy, if you're listening, you can call in now. The phone number is 516-418-5682. Again, the number is 516-418-5682. We're going to hear Tracy's side of the story regarding the past 2.5 years of living on the grounds of the so-called cat sanctuary in Collier County, Florida, near Naples. She also just put out a blog that we will be sharing, and we already did share it on the Dog Rescue page, Dog Rescues the Bad and the Ugly, as well as Inspector Bark. It gives Tracy's side of the story going back to when she started as a caretaker with Animal Aid in August of 2015. We are limited time, so when I do bring Tracy on, and I see she's waiting, we will have some direct questions we're going to ask Tracy. If anybody feels like they want to call in and ask Tracy a question themselves, you may also do so. Again, we are limited time on this interview because we need to incorporate it into the two-hour session for tomorrow night. In case nobody is aware of what's going on, I will tell you that some whistleblowers came forward and blew that whistle nice and loud on the so-called rescue operating out of Broward County as well as Collier County in Florida. The name of the rescue is Animal Aid Incorporated. The founder is Tamara Gibson. We will have some of those people calling in tomorrow night. So please save the date, save the time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. At this time, I'd like to bring in Tracy, and she is waiting right now. I'm going to bring Tracy in. Hey, Tracy, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Great. Thank you so much, and thank you for agreeing for me to interview you earlier than the live podcast taking place tomorrow night, and congratulations on your new job, and I'm glad that you're pursuing what you used to do in the past. Tracy, I want to just, if you would, kindly tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you came, although I'm reading it, how you came to meet Tamara and how you became her caretaker there over in the animal cat sanctuary.
Right. About 2.5 years ago, it was August of 2015, I was moving out of my apartment, didn't have a place to move into right away, so I had to board my dogs and my cats, and they were at my pet sitter's for like a month. It cost me like $2,000. I'm like, this is, you know, way too much. I needed to find a cheaper place to board them. A friend got me in contact with Tamara. She's like, oh, you can board them at my place for $10 a night and blah, blah, blah. So when I met up with her, we were just talking, and I told her I used to live on a farm, you know, 45-acre farm in North Carolina, and she's like, oh, I have a farm in Naples, and I could really use your help. You know, the caretaker is here, that he doesn't take care of the animals. They had a sheep die. The pigs were in bad shape, you know, and all this stuff. And I thought to myself, well, I don't have a place to go right now. I'll go over and check it out and see what's going on. And when I got here, it was just like a house of horrors. The grass was so tall. It was, taller than I am. It went all the way to the fence line. The cats couldn't walk around. When we started cutting the grass down, we found dead cats, bones of dead cats. The pigs were in such bad shape that their hooves were like bent all the way around their foot. It grew so long that the hooves, they couldn't walk.
So that's what I want to stop you there right now. And just a reminder, talking a little bit too fast. So just you can slow it up a little
bit. Okay, sorry about that.
Because I know you've got a wealth
of
information. No, that's okay. I want to ask you, because I read that about the pig. And it almost reminds me of these dogs that get surrendered and their claws are so long, they're curled. Describe basically what this pig looked like again with the hoof.
Well, she's an old pig. She's blind. She's partially blind. She has two pigs. One pig was fine. It got to have exercise. you know, had a little area where it can go down in the dirt and roll in the dirt when it was hot. The other pig, the blind one, was in a little tiny enclosure. It had a house inside the enclosure that took up most of the space. So the pig had nowhere to walk. It didn't get exercise. It didn't have dirt to lay in. It was covered in mosquitoes and open sores. And like I said, the hooves were so long, they grew around the back of the foot because it had nowhere else
to
grow.
And did you say the pig was blind?
She's like partially blind. She can see a little bit. She'll tip her head up a little bit to look at you. But she's a sweet
little
pig.
You walk onto the property and you see the conditions. You see how the animals are kept. How often would you say tomorrow was coming to visit over in Collier County, which is about a 90-mile trip from Broward?
Right. According to her, she was at this property every weekend up until I came because then the house was too crowded. But and I'm thinking to myself, you're in charge of this place. You're here every weekend, and you see this, and you do nothing. I would have fired the caretaker a long time ago. I would have called a farrier, you know, to come out with the, you know, for the pigs. And I told her, I said, why didn't you call a farrier? Oh, she doesn't like to have her nails done, and we have to sedate her and everything else. I said, well, who does her nails? Well, I do, or the old caretaker. I'm like, well, have you ever trimmed, a pig's hooves? No. I said, well, you should call a farrier. They're, you know, mm-hmm. professionals. They know how to do it. And I called a farrier. He came in. She didn't make any noise, nothing.
You get onto the property, and this is back in, again, August of 2015, and right away you're seeing red flags, yes or no?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But at the time, he was blaming the old caretaker, and I saw him.
So
went out there, he wouldn't watch the bowls, nothing. Yeah.
So every time you asked her a question, she either played it off that it was somebody else's fault. She never took responsibility?
Never. And the entire time I was here, did she ever take responsibility for anything? Nothing.
So you're seeing all this happening.
The old caretaker.
Did a vet ever come onto the property to care for these pigs, to care for these other animals, the sheep,
the
chickens,
only time,
the roosters?
Nothing. The only time I called the farrier for the pig, and he trimmed her nails down. And they have, you know, now that she's out, and we actually moved the chickens. She had chickens on the other side, and I removed the wall and opened it up and moved the pig out there, so now she could go down, you know, down in the grass and in the dirt. And she was so happy. She was so happy that she got to play in the dirt, you know. And
are
the
those,
chickens
where
don't
are those
really
pigs
need it
now?
She still has them, and she still has them, and they're actually illegal to have pigs in Collier County, and she has them.
Mm-hmm. And she's a rescue, and she's bringing pigs onto a property that's putting their lives at stake because they're not supposed to be there. Interesting.
Right. Well, they're not supposed to be here, and they're not enclosed either. So they're out, you know, out for the panthers as well. I don't think the panthers have found them yet.
So let's go back because I want to make sure that the listeners understand that panthers just did not suddenly appear in the past 2 weeks, or for that matter, after Hurricane Irma. They were always there, but because Hurricane Irma, being a Cat 4, went through the property, the enclosure was no longer secure, and panthers now had free access to roam the property, correct?
Well, actually, even before then, the fence that she had here was only 7 or 8 feet tall, and the panthers could very easily hop over that. They can jump 15 to 20 feet right over the fence. When I first got here, Tammy had told me a story that a baby panther had gotten into the enclosure, and they had to call Fish and Game to come get the panther out because Mama Panther was pacing the fence line. So Fish and Game came and got the panther out. Now, after the first attack happened when I was here and I called Fish and Game, the biologist who was on the original case came out this time and spoke with me. And he goes, I remember this place. The mother panther jumped the fence. She killed 7 cats and the baby got stuck. I said, wait a minute. What did you just say? And I said, the panther killed cats? And he said, yes. Now, this was right when, like a year ago. So, you know, it was like 6 or 7 years prior. Tammy knew from the very beginning that panthers were a problem. And she did nothing. And then when I first got here in 2015, she was redoing the fence. And she put in the exact same fence that was here before. And the panther, 7-8 foot fence, panthers hop right over it. So she knew from the very beginning when she started this sanctuary that panthers are a problem. I mean, we're 5 miles from the panther sanctuary. We're in the Everglades. Of course it's going to be a problem. You know, she didn't care. And after the first panther attack, I begged her to raise the fence line. Mm-hmm.
And she refused.
She refused. And it wasn't until...
What was her reason?
She didn't have the money. A new fence was going to cost $10,000, and she didn't have the money. which now that I know is a lie.
These cats. I want to talk about the cats. At that time, approximately how many cats were on the property?
Christmas on, was it 2016, there was 147 cats total. I know this because I've named them all, gave them all names, made them all little Christmas presents, or bought them Christmas presents, all little handmade little, you know, catnip toys and stuff like that from, you know, Santa Claus, and decorated the place, everything. So there was 146 cats at Christmas. And then that January is when it started, like the first week of January.
Of 2017.
2017, and they were just taking 5 or 6 cats a night.
So now when you're trying to make these changes and you're naming the cats and you're giving them some little toys, how often were you seeing Tomorrow come onto the property in Collier?
After I got here, I can say she has been here a total of maybe 4 times in 2 years, 2.5 years. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. Let me ask you something about the cats, and we need to explain this to the listeners about the cats being FIV positive. Do
right.
you have enough knowledge about that and what it can do to a Florida panther? Can you share that with
yeah.
the listeners?
Time the biologist came out, he asked me, you know, any of the cats FIV positive. I said, you know, I've never seen any medical records on these cats. Looking at them and some of their general condition, you know, when I first got here, yeah, they could be sick. They could, you know, be FIV positive. I said, but I have no proof. And I said, if I find records, you know, that have it, you know, I will gladly give it to you. Because the panthers, you know, a domestic cat can live with it, you know, for a long time. A panther cannot. It kills them in under a year.
It does kill the panther under a year. So did the biologist at that time ask to speak to the founder since you were the caretaker and you didn't have the records available?
Yes. And they asked if they could come out and do snap tests on some of the cats, which is taking their blood and testing them, you know, for FIV and other diseases that could, you know, potentially harm a panther. I spoke with their veterinarian for like 90 minutes on the phone. She explained everything to me. She said, because I am not the owner, I have to get Tamara's permission. She sent a big form, you know, explaining everything that I emailed to Tammy, and she never answered me. She never answered the vet. No tests were allowed to be done. She didn't
what do you mean
anything.
By no
she
tests
knew.
Were allowed to be? Do you have
she
that
didn't
writing
it.
That she said no?
Huh? No, she just never answered anybody.
Do you have? Okay, so
she never
you're
answered
saying
anybody.
That she just. Okay, so you're she basically
totally
saying
it, yeah.
she just ignored it. Okay.
She did.
And you communicated with her by way of a text and or email?
Right. I forwarded the email that the vet had sent me because it was permission, like a permission slip. This is what we need to do and how we're going to do it and all this stuff. And I just need your permission. The cats won't be harmed. It's just a little blood. They're negative. We won't do anymore. All this kind of stuff. And Tamara never responded whatsoever because she knows that they, you know, were FIV positive. And I found proof of that later on.
What do you mean by you found proof?
I found old records that were in my apartment that had cats. You know, it says to the sanctuary, the paperwork for the cats. And some of those papers were it said that the cats are FIV positive. And one of the cats, went all the way back to 2012. And that was probably right around the time that Mama Panther jumped the fence and killed those 7 cats. And the baby panther got stuck.
Tracy, we've got a call.
Fishing game, yeah.
Tracy,
go ahead.
We have a call,
go
so
ahead.
I don't want to lose this caller. So I'm going to bring the caller in. I don't know who the caller is. So
okay.
I'll let them identify themselves and see what they have to say. But hold on. Let's bring in this caller.
Sure.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Inspector Bark.
Hi, Darcy. It's Mindy.
Oh, hi, Mindy. Hi, Mindy. Thanks for calling in. Tracy, Mindy is on the phone, and you know who Mindy is.
I certainly do.
So, Mindy, did you want to say something, add something, or are you just tuning in and listening?
So what I wanted to say is because I have been a volunteer at Animal Aid for almost double the amount of time Tracy has been with the Cat Sanctuary, you know, we have taken in numerous FIV-positive cats to the shelter that have been transported to the sanctuary. But something that Tracy, you know, she's only been there 2.5 years, and, yes, she found records going back to 2012. But what the public needs to understand, the severity of this cat sanctuary is that this cat sanctuary was opened in 2008, And it initially started as a place to put the feral cat population in South Florida. Many people in the cat population know that many of these feral cats are FIV positive. So knowing that from the very moment that this sanctuary was opened, there were going to be cats placed in the sanctuary that were FIV positive, and anybody in the cat world knows this. So, you know, it's not just going back to 2012, which are the records that Tracy had found. It's going back to the inception of the whole purpose this cat sanctuary was opened was for the feral cat population. So, yes, as years progressed, she understood that she could make money from the domesticated pet, you know, pets by taking in, you know, people's pets, cats from, you know, people's homes. But, you know, for her to try to say that, no, she was not aware of this, anybody that's in the rescue cat community knows that a good portion of the cats in the feral cat colony are all FIV positive. So this isn't something that she can run and hide from. This is something that she has known probably for the last 17 years being in the rescue industry of rescuing feral cats. So this is a disease that has been widely known among feral cats for many years. So I just wanted to point that out. So if anybody listening thinks that this is just something that popped up recently, no. If you know anything about the feral cat industry, FIV has been a horrible, horrible disease that has spread amongst the feral cats for many, many years. So I just wanted to point that out because, yes, Tracy, I know that your knowledge only spans back to your experience there at the sanctuary and you found records dating back to 2012. But I have to believe that there have been FIV cats being brought to that sanctuary from day one. So I just
I'm sure of it. But I just pointed out that that was the time, that was right around the time that the mother panther jumped the fence and killed the cats. So that's why Fish and Game really want those records because, you know, killing a panther, regardless of how you do it, is against the law. They're protected.
No, I understand that.
Yeah, whether you use a gun or a car or, you know, a cat with FIV that you knew was FIV positive, you know, that still counts.
Yes, absolutely.
So explain to me, one of you at a time, explain to me, so a cat is FIV positive, okay, and a panther comes onto the ground, kills the cat, so did the cat infects this panther and then the panther can die? Who can answer that?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
It's almost like the HIV virus that
it's transmitted through
secretion.
Okay, let me tell you what it is. So FIV is the feline immunodeficiency virus, all right? It's a virus which is, you know, commonly known as the feline AIDS. It's exactly the same as you would think of in a human virus for AIDS, but it's something that spreads among cats. And what it says is it progresses very slowly and gradually affecting the cat's immune system, and it is passed through blood. And also through any type of bite wound, mainly stray cats have it, but it's well known, you know, as the HIV virus. So it is transferable from one animal to another animal through the blood system of a cat. So, you know, as we know, there are a lot of cats that have that are testing positive for FIV, but they live a long time because it's just like any other virus. Some viruses kill immediately. Some viruses kill, you know, gradually over time. Some cats live a very long life being, you know, FIV positive. But what the Wildlife, Fish, and Game were saying is that because it's not a virus that spreads among panthers, it kills them rapidly. So they're not a carrier of the virus. It does kill them rapidly as far as hitting their immune system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. That explains it. Thank you, Mindy. I wanted to explain, and I did at the beginning, that I am limited time in regards to Tracy's testimony, but I'd like for you to stay on the phone, and if you want to put yourself on mute and jump in any time, because it's important that you being with the organization for as long as you have, over mainly in Broward County. But Mindy, you also have visited this so-called cat sanctuary, have you not?
Yes, actually my video, my presence on the sanctuary is what just kind of spiraled this whole worm, you know, opened a can of worms and exposed everything. But I understand. Listen, I'm going to be calling into your show tomorrow night, so let me just go ahead and get off the line so you can concentrate on Tracy, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow night.
Mindy, thank you for all you're doing, and thank you for being a voice for the animals. I know Tracy appreciates it. As you are aware, I know you are, Mindy. Tracy did start a blog. I am looking at it, but we need to hopefully help her and spread the word about her GoFundMe, because we need to help this woman. She's got to leave that property, thank God, and start her new life. But, Mindy, if there's anything else you want to add before you hang up, thank you so much.
No, I just, you know, I want to just make sure everybody understands, you know, Tracy, you did a wonderful thing. You did whatever you could do to try to save them. There's only so much that you can do.
Right.
But, you know, don't give up on the fight, and we're all backing you, and we're all behind you on this, okay?
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you so much. Take care. Thanks for calling in. Okay, so Tracy, getting back. So now you're seeing the whole operation with your own eyes, but there were also, prior to you coming onto the property, you mentioned Andy and April. Is that their names?
Andy and Ashley. Ashley is the other girl. Is the girl's
okay.
name.
Ashley.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a couple, right? And you refer to them as kids, but they're not kids. They're in their 20s, correct?
They're in their 20s. But we used to, you know, Tammy and I used to refer to them as the kids, you know, because we're
okay.
older, so they were the kids.
Right. And so anyhow, they really weren't much help there helping the animals, right? They basically just lived on the property.
Right. They lived on the property. They were supposed to get up in the morning and, like, do the maintenance and cut the grass. And, you know, actually was supposed to do the water runs, like, starting at 12 o'clock. She was supposed to go out there, like, every hour and change the water in the cat bowls. And she never got out of bed till like, 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So neither did he. So, you know, after she also, Tammy also had her ex-boyfriend, Eric, living here when I first moved in. And he was the one doing all the maintenance. He was the one banging on their door in the morning to get them out of bed. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not their mother. I'm not going to, you know, you're 25 years old. If you can't get up and do your job, then whatever, you know? So I was actually working 70 hours a week out here between taking care of the cats and, you know, cutting the grass and doing what I could to keep the place up. You know, I started a garden. So the animals, you know, the pigs and the chickens and that could have fresh greens and stuff and the sheep, you know, and the garden went to pot because I didn't have time doing it. I was, you know, too busy.
Right.
To
and
care
did,
the rest
they,
of
did you ever report to Tomorrow that these people were just sleeping all day and not doing the job?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And she was always like, well, do you want me to get rid of them? I'm like, no, I want you to tell them to get off their ass and go to work. You know?
Right.
And she never did.
Right.
She never did. You know, don't fire
okay,
them.
Okay,
so tell
let's
them to
fast
work,
forward.
You know?
Right. Let's fast forward to prior to the hurricane. So prior to Hurricane Irma, you're dealing with these cats. You've got now about 140, but now they're starting to diminish because now we're still
right.
in, what, 2017. Okay.
Right.
Cats are being killed. Cats are gone missing. You found a couple dead cats. Let's go right to prior to the hurricane. You reach out to Tamara and you say, do we have a plan for the hurricane in case it comes?
Right. I asked her, I said, you know, this hurricane looks kind of bad. It was a week away. I said, you know, I'm going to go out and start buying hurricane supplies for myself. You want me to pick up extra water for the cats? Oh, no. You know, if it comes, then, you know, it won't be bad or we can fill up jugs. I'm like, there's over 100 cats here. There's a sheep. I have my mini pony that I have for my granddaughter. I said, there's chickens. I said, filling jugs is not going to do it, you know, not at all. So she, you know, she didn't care. She wasn't going to fill up any jugs, nothing. I said, so what's our disaster plan? You know, and she goes, do nothing and hope for the best. I said, what? I said, well, you have an empty house, a three-bedroom house. That's hers on this property. I said, we can put the cats in there. Nope, I don't want any cats in my house. No cats whatsoever in my house. And I thought maybe, you know, as the storm got closer and, you know, the seriousness took over, she would change her mind. And she would say, that, you know, okay, you know, move all the cats that you can or whatever. And nothing. So the day before the storm, I was angry. I mean, these cats I've taken care of for, you know, 2.5 years. They're like my pets. I've never had a day off here since I started. Christmases and holidays, I would have to come, you know, drive back, couldn't spend it with my granddaughter and watch her open presents in the morning. You know, I had to drive back to see the cat. And it was devastating to me. I said, you can imagine the pain that you go through when you lose a personal pet, when a personal pet dies. It's like, try going out there in the morning to go feed them and 7 of your personal pets are dead, ripped open by panthers. And this person is not doing anything. You know, and now there's a hurricane coming, a Category 4, and she's not going to do anything. She's not going to try to protect them. She was like, oh, it's like a party. It sounds like a party. I'm like, well, not for these cats.
And you have that documented in a text.
I have that documented.
Do you know?
It was in a text message. Yeah.
Right.
It was
right.
a text
I
message.
Saw.
I said, look at this. I saw the spaghetti lines, and I sent her that. I said, look at this. And she's like, oh, it sounds like a party. I said, well, not for them. Oh, they'll find a place to hide. I said, in 160-mile-an-hour winds? I don't think so.
And Tracy, your structure where you were staying was not safe and sound, so you had to evacuate, did you not?
Right. I up until 3 o'clock the night before the storm, I wasn't leaving. I had, you know, found some pieces of wood around the property. I boarded up my windows. She didn't board anything upstairs. She didn't board the house at all. So I'm like, I'm not leaving. My family was begging me. My son fled to Georgia with my granddaughter and his wife. He's like, we're not even sticking around. He's like, just go to the condo. You know, you could stay there. Just leave. Just leave. I'm like, no. I said, what am I going to do? I said, I have to take care of these animals. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. And it wasn't until 3 o'clock in the morning, right before the storm hit, when it did that, you know, it was going west. I said, well, if it goes a little bit farther west, it'll stay out in the Gulf and we won't get much, you know, and all this stuff. And it took that jog back east. And we knew it was coming right over Collier. The eye of the storm was coming right over Collier.
And that's when you left.
Yeah, well.
Correct?
Well, yeah, because inside my house was all mold. So all the drywall was taken off the walls. Okay, so the only thing separating me from the outside is a quarter piece of plywood. That's it. And I'm like, with 160-mile-an-hour winds, it's not going to, you know, that's not going to withstand it, you know. So I was like, I had no choice. So I loaded up my car. I put my personal pets in there, and I grabbed as many cats in the sanctuary as I could. And I put him in the car.
And when you returned, how soon did you return back onto the property?
The very next day. And Tammy had already been here, and she posted a picture. Oh, look, the house is still standing, and all the cats are fine. And I was like, what a relief, And, you know, everything made it, and, you know, prayers were answered and stuff. And I came back here, and she was already gone, and cats were missing.
You mean to tell me that right after the hurricane, she made a trip over there to check on the property?
Yeah, she drove over here. She made it back before I ended up in Clewiston. But she drove over here, and she's like, oh, look, you know, all the cats are fine, and everything made it. And I got back here, and cats are missing, you know, because she doesn't know how many
but
cats
wait a
they
minute.
Have or what
how
their names are, what they look
actually,
like.
How
because
do you actually know she was there?
She sent me pictures as I was driving back. She sent me pictures of the house and what the fence looked like and stuff like that.
So she was there then. But she didn't wait for you to come back.
No, she took off again. She's like, well, I'll be back in the morning. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you know, I'll be there, you know, in a little bit. And she's like, oh, okay. When I got here, like I said, there were cats missing. There were cats that were injured. She didn't bother. She only walked into the front of the place. She didn't walk the entire sanctuary. I had cats that were stuck in the building.
So she never even checked to make sure.
No.
Okay.
No,
so
and there was cats stuck in a building on the flood water.
So not only are we talking about dirty water, because I want to know about the well issue, because you're on well water there, and I also want to talk about why she forbid the cats from having wet food. So let's talk about the well issue first. Go ahead with that.
Right. Well, you know, we have a well. It runs on power. After the hurricane, of course, we had no power. We had no water. I told, you know, and Tammy and I had gotten into a fight because I had told her off before the storm when I found out she really wasn't going to do anything. I told her she was no better than the people in Houston who fled the floodwaters and left their pets behind. I said, you're not a rescuer. Don't, you know, try to be a rescuer. You know, don't pretend to be a rescuer because you're not. So driving back, she says to me in a text message right after she says the cats are fine that she doesn't want me here anymore. She was going to fire me because I wasn't taking good care of the cats. And I better have it. I said, you know, there was a few expletives that I used that I can't say on the radio. But she's like, well, you know, I said, well, if you want me gone, I said, you're going to have to evict me. Because at that point I was like, you know, and when I got back here, we had no water. Of course, I had no jugs of water because she wouldn't buy any. The wells, because there was standing water, all of our wells had E. coli. And, the water was yucky anyway. No one came out to do the treatment on the water. So all these cats were drinking like brown water when the power did come back on. All the cats were sick. They had diarrhea. They were, you know, bloody diarrhea. They had upper respiratory infections because they were out and out.
And you
storm.
Were telling her this, right? Were you
yeah,
sending
I was
her information?
Her
were you?
I was telling her this.
And what was,
you know,
what was her answer when you told her these
nothing. She doesn't,
animals
she doesn't
needed?
Want, yeah, she told me after the storm, after she told me to get out, that she doesn't want the cats to have canned food. I said, Tammy, all these cats are sick. I have to give them canned food because that's how I give them their medicine because some of them are thorough and I can't get near them. I have to give them, you know, penicillin and stuff in the food. And she didn't care. She didn't care. She stopped buying it. So that's when I started buying it myself out of my own pocket for since the hurricane. I've been buying it
and
myself.
And she stopped paying you also, correct?
Right.
When did she stop paying you?
in November because I had been in the hospital 3 times with pneumonia due to the mold in my house that she was supposed to fix. And after the hurricane, of course, it got worse because of all the water. And I told her that, you know, the doctor said that the reason that I have it because of the mold. I said, you know, you should be either, you know, paying for my prescriptions or part of my medical bills or whatever because you didn't do anything.
And when you told her that, she just kept making excuses, right, that she was going to take care of it.
She never even acknowledged that email, like it was her fault. Mm-hmm. And
what do you think we're dealing with here? We've got an individual that apparently doesn't care about your well-being, definitely doesn't care about the cat's well-being, doesn't care about any other animals. What do you think, what change did you see in the course of 2.5 years that was it greed? Was it just getting the money? What's your thought on that?
See, I don't know what went on over at the shelter in Fort Lauderdale. All I know is what, you know, Mindy has come and told me and, you know, we discussed. But, you know, over here, when I first got here, she really wanted the property to look nice. She gave us money to get sod and, you know, cut the grass down and, you know, all the cats. The cats were so healthy in 2016 when the inspector came out that he never even asked to see a vet record. And usually he'll ask to see, you know, the cat that looks sick or something like that. And he couldn't get over how good the place looked. You know, because I planted flowers. I had bird feeders hung up really high so the birds would come and the cats had something to watch. They couldn't get them, but, you know, they could watch the birds and, you know, all this stuff. And the animals were all healthy. I had the garden going. You know, they had fresh greens. They had anything, you know.
And then
I
all
don't
of
know
a sudden she stopped providing
right, like
money.
I said, right before the hurricane. You know, and I have text messages from her. A few months before, she had bought a 20-acre property. She wanted to open a bigger rescue. She wanted to have farm animals. She wanted me to design it. She wanted me to run it. You know, and this was a few months before the hurricane. And then on the 8th, before the hurricane hit, September 11th, and this was on the 8th, you know, I was talking to her. I said, you know, instead of buying property around here, maybe we should buy it out of state, you know, because we had to deal with the brush fires last summer. I said, and then the hurricane. I said, maybe let's just move somewhere where there's, you know, no weather, you know, disasters that we have to deal with. And she was like, you know what, you're right. After the storm, I want you to look for a property somewhere we can move the animals and keep our critter safe, you know. And then 3 days later, after I tell her that she's not a rescuer, that she's no better than the people in Houston mm-hmm. who left their animals behind, all of a sudden I'm a bad caretaker.
She wanted you to go away. Of course.
Yeah, because I saw her tell her.
Yes, and that's what happens. And I will just tell you, when a good person like yourself that either as a volunteer or a paid employee, when you start questioning them, meaning the founder, and you push back a little bit like you did, they don't like that. They don't want anybody causing problems for them. So therefore, her best way to get rid of you was to fire you. So now she fires you and she wants to evict you. She hasn't paid you since November of 2017. Nope. We're now in the beginning of March. I know that you went to a hearing today. And she is evicting you officially. And I do want to mention to our listeners, people, that on the Inspector Bark Facebook page, if I don't have it there, I believe it is on the Dog Rescue Bad and Ugly page, there is Tracy's blog with the link. And I'm going to separate the link for the GoFundMe to help this woman. She has been there. She has worked tirelessly to help these animals. And basically, she got shown the door. And for somebody to allow an individual to live in a mold-infested structure is beyond my scope of anything. But more importantly, Tracy was hired to do a job, which I believe you did it very well, as well as you could within the means. And then, sadly, maybe, in my opinion, Tamara was more interested in getting the money and the donations than putting that money where it should go. And when donations come in, they're meant primarily for one thing. In my opinion, it's to help those animals. So when somebody sends in a $25 or $50, I want to talk about the $500 so-called donation, one-time donation, that people could give to Tamara, and they were told that their cats would live out the rest of their life in this sanctuary. Now, there is a video. It's a horrible video. It is on her website. We've captured it, so we do have it. It's all blurry, and I don't know if it's blurry for a reason, because I wouldn't, if I looked at that, seeing what I saw in Mindy's video, there's no way in hell I'd let my cat go there.
I know the
and
video you're
poor
talking
people,
about. Yeah.
Right, right. These poor people gave $500. We have some of them calling into the show tomorrow night. Did you ever meet any individuals that came onto the property, Tracy, to hand over their cat?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was told under no circumstances, don't tell them about the Panthers. You know, and if you tell them about the Panthers, you're done. You know, and it was like, you know, if I tell them, you know, that there's Panthers, obviously they're not going to leave their cat here. I said, but then I'm out of a job and I can't save the ones that are here. Because I used to walk around after the Panther attacks. I would walk around all night long when I knew that there was a panther in the area, and walk around the sanctuary with just my flashlight. And on more than a dozen occasions, I came within contact of panthers. They were inside the sanctuary with me. And this was before Irma, when there was still a fence, you know. And my last encounter was about 6 weeks ago. I was out there walking around at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking by one of the feeding stations, and a panther is coming right at me. And I was literally inches from this panther. If I took a step forward, I could reach out and pet it. That's how close I was. And this is a panther. This is a 170-pound animal, you know, with teeth and claws that could kill you. And I'm yelling at it, screaming at it to get lost, nothing. And it would not move for like a good 2 or 3 minutes. And it finally, it, you know, my dog barked, actually, and it, you know, it snapped it out of its stare, and it took off running. You know, and that night, luckily, none of the cats were killed. I caught it before it did any damage. But, yeah, this
would
is what
you
I do.
Say
and, you know,
most of these cats that came to be surrendered, were they domesticated cats that were used to being indoors?
There were some cats that were old, that were indoor cats that never, ever should have been here. They were never outside in the rain before. They never even saw like a live bird before. And she just dumped them outside. Goodbye.
And you follow those orders?
Huh? I had no choice.
You follow those orders?
I had no choice. And I mean, over the time that I was here, I found a lot of them homes without her knowing. Because like I said, she has no idea how many cats
she
had there.
No clue. Right. Because she was
had
never
no clue.
There.
I mean, you could line up 10 cats and ask her to pick the ones that were in the sanctuary, and she couldn't do it. She had absolutely no
do
idea.
Do you recall, without mentioning names on the air, and we can share this with each other afterwards, do you recall any of those names that may have brought their cat to surrender for whatever reason that you could possibly think or look up those names and hand them off to me? And
I
absolutely, to
I've actually talked to about 15 people whose cats that I took in. And this was actually, they actually dropped off their cats before the attacks happened. And they are contacting DAS. They're filing a formal complaint against Tamara.
I hope
and
so.
And they, you know, yeah, they want to take her to court. They want justice for their cats, just like I do. I want
well,
the only
I'd
reason
like to
that
get
I stayed here and.
Tracy, yeah, I want their information from you when we hang up.
Okay.
Because I
want
to follow up with them and make sure.
Okay.
Also, I want to go back to the wet food. I don't understand. And matter of fact, the latest report, when her mother came, and I believe Dawn was there videoing, okay, and that was last week or so, and the mother shows up because Tomorrow knows that you're blowing the whistle, and thank God you did, nice and loud. What's going on with this report that two of the cats were seniors, had barely any teeth in their mouth, and she refuses to give them wet food? What's with that?
She doesn't like wet food. She's never liked wet food, even for the dogs at the shelter. She doesn't like them to have wet food. I'm like, well, they need it. You know, there's moisture in it. You know, they're out. These cats are out in the sun all day. They need all the, you know, all the moisture that they can so they don't dehydrate. And I said, you know, it's a treat for them. I said, the only, you know, by the time I mixed all the cans when we had like 150 cats, I said, they're only getting like a little tablespoon of it. It's not a whole can. You know, it doesn't matter. She didn't want them to have it at all. And I'm like, well, some of them,
but
you know, are old. They have no teeth.
Reason, Tracy,
no,
did she ever
no,
give
she,
you a reason?
She, that she just doesn't like it. She doesn't like it. It makes their poop smell. It, I was like, they're outside. These cats are outside. They poop outside. What does it matter if their poop smells? And
exactly.
I have my own personal
exactly.
cats that I have cats inside. You know, that they get canned food every single day. Their poop doesn't smell any worse than, you know, cats that get dry food. You know, so it's just like all in her head, and she just doesn't want them. I said, well, some of them have no teeth. They're all the way, oh, no, they all have teeth, they're all fine, and, it, you know, all this stuff. And the cats, like you said, that Lee took, the very first report was this cat has one fang in the front and two little tiny teeth in the back. And she's like, oh, I gave it canned food, and it ate it eagerly. Well, of course it did. It was starving, you know, because you keep giving it dry food, and it can't eat it. So.
How often did you see her mother come on the property in Collier County?
Well, when I first got here, like in 2016, Lee and another employee, Liz, would come out and help me every month because I told Tamara, I said, I need dewormer, I need that, and they came out once a month to help me. Now, they have not been out here since a month before the hurricane. That was the last time Lee came out here. And
I just want to make sure. Terrible.
And the only reason that she showed up was because, you know, Tammy had posted on Facebook like 3 hours prior to all this happening last Saturday, oh, that she was going to send somebody out in 10 days to come get the rest of the cats. And as soon as she found out that someone called, you know, animal control and the sheriff and the news, all of a sudden her mother shows up, you know, and is trying to get
and her
the
mother
cats
lives
before,
over,
you know.
Her mother lives in Broward County with her.
Right. Her mother lives with her. Yeah.
And what was her excuse for not coming? Why did she send her mother?
Huh? Oh, I have no idea. I haven't physically spoken to Tammy since before all this happened.
And you saw her today in court?
I saw her today in court and never said a word. Didn't even look at me, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. That's
which
fine.
Which is fine. Because...
You know, Tracy, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. And I'm going to share with you, and I'll share with my followers tomorrow night. I did have another whistleblower approach me last August. I still have all the documentation. And this woman will remain nameless. She's over on the Broward County side. She tried to get others to come forward. They refused, maybe fearful of repercussions. Because, you know, these people will do everything in their power to shut you up. Because, let's face it, we're affecting their pocketbook, and they don't like that.
Exactly.
I do believe that the team that is behind the scenes, I've got 3 minutes left, the team that's behind the scenes, including you and others that will remain nameless, are smart individuals. And I believe that with the information that is provided and is going to be presented to the proper authorities, this woman is going to have to answer to the authorities because this has been going on way too long. And you know what? Tomorrow night's show is only the tip of the iceberg. We're going to discuss the cat sanctuary. You know, this interview today, I booked 45 minutes. We've already gone through 43 minutes. It flew by. It's going to be incorporated into tomorrow night's two-hour session, and we're going to need another segment after this and maybe even one after that. But in closing, I will definitely share the GoFundMe and encourage people to help. Because, Tracy, I'm sorry that this happened to you, but thank God that you stayed on the property and you gave the cats the love and affection that they deserve. People
They're
like
the only reason
the
I
tomorrows
stayed.
Of this world. I know, yeah. People like the tomorrows of the world and others out there using animals to financially benefit off of, come to me. You know, report them. If you see something, say something. If you see something, say something. Excuse me, any private message you send to Inspector Bark or Dog Rescues, the Bad and Ugly Facebook page, is strictly confidential. And sadly, with the whistleblower that came to me last August, no one else would stand by her.
Right.
No one else. But watch, when things come out, then they start talking, oh, I knew about this. And I hate that. It happens every time. Because if you knew about it, then why didn't you open your mouth? So they want somebody else to take the fall. And I applaud you, and I congratulate you because you did the right thing. And you're going to have people say, why didn't you report it earlier? Well, tell them, and I will tell them. Read her blog.
Because I would have been, I could tell you, I would have been out of here faster than I am today. The only reason that I fought it for so long and lived in a house with mold and ended up with pneumonia, and I actually had a heart attack last year too, I said, is because of the cats. I said, I wasn't leaving until all of the cats were safe.
Well, listen.
And, you know, and now that she knows everything and knows that I'm after her, I want justice for the cats, and I'm not going to stop until I get it. It's that
Thank
easy.
You. Thank you. We've got 45 seconds. So, Tracy, in closing, again, I applaud your courage. I love the fact that you've got a spine made of steel, you've got broad shoulders, and you've got a big mouth to blow that whistle. And that's how I describe myself, and that's how I describe others that are working behind the scenes that are helping to
seek
justice for the animals. Yeah, you've got a spine of steel, broad shoulders, and a big mouth to blow that whistle. So we've got about 20 seconds left. Thank you so much. We're going to air this tomorrow night, and we're good to go. So let's chat after this, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Darcy.
You're welcome. Take care. All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.